then he writes the mysteries upon it.
Means what? I wasn't enough, you know, you got it, let's go home. Wait a minute. He said, look at the children. Take a child with no education at all and no experience at all. Take him to a school, give him one plate and the chalk. You know, start to wash this first. Unknowingly that this is the routine, because when it is not washed, you cannot write on it. So there was no ignorance over there. It was that unknowingly the one will wash the plate, then why? Because even a child understands that if a plate is already drawn on, you cannot draw on it. It happens to you. You have to first wash this one, then write the other one. Whatever we are talking about, this has written a lot in your mind and is dictating a lot of stuff. You have to wash this, then. But we don't say it like that. Here Moses is talking to God and he's talking about the other part that the God will do. And you do the same. You first make me miserable to wash all the ego, inflated ego of me, then you will give me the secret. And only then, because when I'm full of this, you cannot put that in me. When? At the time?
At the time of washing the tablet, one must recognize that it will be made into a book. When they lay the foundation...
Means when you're washing it, you should understand that. You're not getting rid of the stuff. You're cleaning up to put good stuff in it. Washing the plate doesn't mean that you want it blank. Means you want to make it worthy, a part of a book, a page of a book. Yes.
When they lay the foundation of a house, they dig up the first foundation.
This is the problem of the architects. What we do? First, we dig. We get rid of a lot of stuff because we have to make the foundation. It's not that we start building up. First, we dig. It's the same with the tablet. You have to wash it. The same with here, here. There are stuff here because before becoming a human being, we are animal. And the animal is here. So the instinct, everything is in there. Yes?
People first fetch up clay from the depths of the earth in order that at last you may draw up flowing water. Children weep piteously at cupping, for they know not the secret of the matter. A man, in sooth, gives the cupper gold and fondles the blood-drinking lancet.
You know what cupping is? Any of you experienced it? None? Next time, ask my family doctor. She will tell you I have. A bloody fellow will come with a knife, does this to you, and suction and all that stuff. The children doesn't like it. But the parents, because that's the only cure they know, they love it. They even pay the tip to the guy who got the baby. Why? Because of different points of views. The child only thinks about the pain. The parents, they are in the illusion of trusting the medicine. But they trust it. They do it, yes?
The porter runs to the heavy load. He snatches the load from others. Behold, the struggle...
Have you seen that? You haven't gone to South America, I believe. Because easily you will find it. You come out of the airport, a lot of people are fighting each other to carry your luggage to your cab. Because they need the money. You say, over there, they're not looking to take the smaller one. They try to take the biggest one because the tip will be better. Yeah.
Behold the struggle of the porters for the load. Such is the endeavor of him that sees things. Inasmuch as burdens are the foundation of ease, and bitter things, too, are the forerunners of enjoyment.
So up to here, you realize that there is a mixture. It means pain and gain, they are two sides of a coin. That's why the porter tries to have the pain to gain better. So everything goes like that. Then, paradise is what?
Paradise is compassed about with the things we dislike. The fires are compassed about with our lusts.
And how come that this is not Latin or something like that? Because it's in Arabic. The Persians, they never understand this. I mean, these Iranians, they go to the next verse automatically because they look at it and they realize that this is not for me. It means what? What does this mean to you? I just told you a story that in Masnavi, there are verses that the Iranians, they don't read and they cannot. Exceptionally, some of them try. I could imitate it, but when Zainab is here, she will laugh because it's not Arabic to her. And we totally ignore it. And this is not something that Rumi didn't know. Remember, he loved Arabic language, he came to Persian language because this language is the best instrument, the most flexible language on the earth. You could even use the word for the opposite meaning that never existed. That's how that language is. Why he does this? And it's not only one verse, there are times that two, three verses. He goes in Arabic, and once he goes and says, let's say it in Persian, although the Arabic was lovelier. And he will say it. So he has a meaning. And I hope you will not forget that I'm trying to teach you the technique of reading the book, not reading the book for you. This part should be somehow, I believe in our representation even, somehow colored that, know that this is completely in Arabic and Rumi knows that he will say something in Arabic. Why does he do that? These are the references to the guy who is studying religion in that time. And they go about ayah and hadith and all that to decipher this stuff. So we will give them some key. These keys are always simple. And if it has a little bit of play, he will say it again in Persian. He will repeat it. If he doesn't repeat it, he's playing with those words to give a key to those people to go and read that subject. Because the subject is normally something which is not precisely known, or it's translatable or complicated. Here, the meaning, you got it. Yes, that was the translation of Arabic, but it was in Arabic. Then in Persian, listen to the Persian.
The seed of the substance of your fire is the fresh bough. He that is burned by the fire is the comrade of Kauthar.
That's Kauthar.
Kauthar
is the fountain of, a very special welcoming fountain in the front of Heaven's Gate, because normally you arrive thirsty. Why? We know it by nature. We know that if you are at the heaven, you are started with yearning and wisdom, and the love and the wisdom. So you are thirsty. You arrive there for something. You don't arrive in paradise to rest. I know you believe paradise is a resting place, and you will be an eternal couch potato over there. But that's not what paradise is. Is to satisfy the thirst. That's that fountain. So he's exaggerating about this to tell you that, listen, first of all, fire starts with the water. There is a water in the fuel of fire. And at the end, whatever is burned out will be there with the eternal water. So it's always water. It's knowing, is understanding, knowledge. Yes?
Whosoever is the comrade of affliction in prison, that is the retribution for a mouthful and a lust. Whosoever is the comrade of a high fortune in a palace, that is the reward for some battlefield and sore trial. Whomsoever you have seen unrivaled in gold and silver, know that he has been patient in earning. When the eye has become piercing, he sees without causes. You who are in sense perception, pay you heed to causes.
Means whatever I was saying, you were not listening. This is what really means. It means that when you grow up, when you open your eyes, you will see the effect with no cause. But now, I'm talking to you, and you're a slave on cause and effect. You think that for each effect there is a cause. You should develop that eye. Later, remember, with no cause, we'll come back to that. Yes?
He whose spirit is beyond natural properties, to him belongs the position of power to rive causes. The eye regards the fountain of the miracles of the prophets as without cause, not as from water and herbage.
Who could translate this to me? This verse was a little bit difficult for me. Volunteers? What was this about? I'm doing this because I have limited fingers. All of you, even today I tried, but you will not connect these subjects. There is a connection here. What is the connection?
Well, miracles don't come, they're not from logic, they're not a part of the cause and effect.
Go back two sessions. When we started about the guy, somebody was reading the Quran, and the guy was talking about we can do it ourselves. Over there was talking about the fountain. This is the fountain of the miracle. Because we believe there is a fountain of miracle. First of all, that fountain is the source of eternal life. If you drink from that fountain, you never die. Alexander the Great tried it with all the army. No success. You know, one guy who got it. Remember? The green guy, Khuda, Khizr. Why did he do it? How did he find it? He got lost in the darkness. But he hanged on to the Beloved, and the Beloved led him to that fountain. And that's the fountain of the magic. How do you look at that fountain? It depends who you are. Normally, if I'm talking about the fountain, you want to know the source of the water that fountain is bringing out. Because you don't get it. You are the slave of cause and effect. This fountain of the miracles is not the fountain from water or plant or something like that. I'm talking about something else. Let's talk about this cause. Yes? This cause?
These causes are like the physician and the sick. These causes are like the lamp and the wick. Twist a new wick for your night lamp. Know that the lamp of the sun transcends these things. Go you and make plaster for the roof of your house. Know that the roof of the sky is undefiled.
When I'm talking about cause and effect, here we have cause and effect, and we have something else. Yes, when we talk about cause and effect, we are talking about the physician and the sick fellow, the lamp and the light. But when I started my story with this Hakim, which was a physician, was I talking about physician?